Okay, good morning. Finally, we come to the last lecture for this year. So, I think last time we got to this slide. And I'm not going to explain it more and just read the topics. And then today we are going to take this 1.5 hour to talk about how to prevent corrosion from happening, or how to control the situation when it happens, or try to predict something like that. So I think it's for every engineering field, the final goal or final purpose is try to find a way to solve some problems. So we talk a lot of things about corrosion and the mechanism based on electrochemistry. And finally, the last chapter, we're going to talk things about how to prevent it from happening. So so this is kind of environment or the places where all different corrosion happens, or some corrosive agents around the materials. Stainless steel, for example, it's good for nitric acid and something like that. Some names you may not quite familiar with these kind of things. Have a look later. And we're going to concentrate mainly on the coatings problem, and a little bit things about electric protection, cathodic protection, something like that. And things we already talked a little bit about how to select the materials. And finally, maybe a few words about environmental control. So how to prevent the corrosion? Because in most cases, the corrosion resistance or corrosion property is not the first priority for materials, because we use materials for making components or something like that. We need them to have strong enough mechanical properties. Good mechanical properties basically is the first priority for all the materials. So the corrosion resistance may be second or third, something like that. And some that may be neglected because no specialist in the boiling member when they doing something, when they started to do something like that. So it is almost impossible to use gold or silver to, you know, making parts, not only because it is very expensive, but also it is not good enough, not strong enough for holding something or supporting something. So that is why the first choice to protect components or materials from corroding is to use some surface layer. I use this word coating, but coatings include many different types. So a kind of surface layer, maybe it's very thin, just like stainless steel. It's another story, and maybe it is very thick, and maybe it is inorganic, maybe it is organic. So coatings is very important for corrosion protection. So one major type of coatings is paint coatings, because I'm not quite familiar with these kind of things, because it includes a lot of knowledge about organic chemistry and polymer, something like that. We just have a brief look about that. It seems like there are a lot of also different type of organic coatings used in our society today. So there is paint coatings for corrosion production. So a lot of things, I just translated these kind of things into, you know, into English, or you can see the Japanese Enkisei Ganryo, basic pigment. So I just checked the word. Ganryo is pigment, and Senryo is dye. severely. So a lot of things you can see is soluble pigments, metallic pigments, zinc chromate, which is we can see almost everywhere in normal daily life, and decorative paint. So as for the door and other things, it is the corrosion protection is one thing, and another thing is try to make things more beautiful, Okay, two, you know. Let our eyes be comfortable with all these kind of things. So, 防色コーティングね、防色塗料っていうかね、塗装、anti-corrosive coatings. I just want to read a little bit about, try to listen carefully. Iron, it is steel, okay? Iron is stable under oxidized state.Oxygen and water are needed for iron to grow. Okay, one of the function for a painted coatings, the coating の役割 is to let those corrosion factors far from the surface of. They even if they reach the surface of iron, the coating can prevent iron from rapid corrosion, to lower the speed of corrosion. Okay.As one of the coating prevention for corrosion, painting process includes, here is a specific process, basic painting, middle painting, and top painting. This is basically the three layer of paintings. But actually, when you do something, it may contain more layers. There are also someproposals which led an integrated function system to be performed. So one example for automobiles, cars. We can see your cars is in blue color and maybe your car is in silver color, I'm not quite sure. And my car is silver color. The painting is not only three layers listed here. It at least have five layers. Also the steel.Will be pre-treated with maybe laser or other coatings such as plating, and then coated with this kind of organic paintings basically. And when we visit a Nissan company, and the guy, the gentleman said, or the lady said sometimes, for the Skyline, fair ladies and the luxury cars,They have seven layers of painting. Seven layers. For normal cars, five layers. And the Skyline, seven layers. So it is very corrosion resistive. The corrosion resistance is very high. And basically, the maker, the automotive maker companies, will guarantee the coatings will not be corroded within 10 or 15 years. If you did something else,you know, the crash and use something or get an accident is totally different story, but basically if there's nothing damage on the coatings, it will be good in about 15 years. So that is a very great revolution, because 50 years ago, something like that, you always see the cars, you know, corroded paintings or on the body, something like that. So that is one thing. So I'm not going to talk too much about the pre-painting or something like that, is because also in our laboratory we also do some coatings on metallic surface. The adhesiveness or the adherence, Michak said, is very important, almost as important as the chemical stability of the coatings, other functions, okay? So I think the pre-painting is, you can see, even for huge components such as rims, the damage during transportation or installation cause localized corrosion. So basically we do this kind of things in plant. We coating all these kind of big components, and it will be transferred to the location. Where it should be. when building my home, I didn't build my by myself, but by the company. But when they transport all this kind of iron-coated steel, and they got some damage on the surface, or you know, the deformation of the components. And then I asked the company to paint it again to try to do something for that. If you don't do that something, it will not last. Yeah? It will not be okay in the next 50 years or 25 years. So that is one important thing. You think it's okay, but during the transportation, maybe it will be damaged by some factors, some accident. Select the painting type is also very important. You can see a lot of things, okay? The polymers, chemical degradation, light, oxygen, and heat can have combined effect on link garden degradation process. Degradation depends on the type of factors and their quantities. Some progresses from surface and some goes all over the coatings. So that is the coatings, and there are a lot of different types, as I said. So once I heard a keynote speech from a painting company, maybe a DIC, I'm not quite sure with my memory, for the white painting on the public, you know, infrastructures, the different types, more expensive types, they can last maybe 20 years, and the cheap one maybe last 10 years. So it depends on the government or the city hall or the city to decide how to or which one you should choose. Okay, it depends on the, you know, the cost and the cost performance for all these kind of things. But basically, the organic painting and other paintings, water and oxygen can penetrate, can go through the paintings at some extent, at some level. So it doesn't prevent all the outside factors from going to the surface of the eye. So please remember that. That is why sometimes you got a wrong image or knowledge in your mind. You think after painting is perfectly isolated from the outside. It is not true. Also, the painting itself will be corroded, or kind of the degradation process will happen also on the coating itself, because it is polymer. It is vulnerable. It is not strong enough to ultraviolet or water. So another thing is, for coatings is very popular and very broadly used, and is plating, McGee plating. And the plating includes basically two types. One is to use the electricity, and another is a lot kind of only chemical process. So we call it 電気メッキと化学メッキ。あれは無電解メッキ。So electroplating is kind of very simple, just, you know, considering a cell or something like that. It just, put some corrosion resistant, with high quality of corrosion resistance elements or metal layers or oxide layers on the surface of your component, and let it be the important role for corrosion protection. And another thing is, you just dip your component into the molten metal such as zinc. So that is all the poles and the frames, all this kind of silver color like public things on the road or along the road are made by this process. Okay, so also in my home it's the same, the frame of the steel things coated with this kind of things. And the 6 months, we use double layer molten zinc coatings, also it is very strong. Oh, it's So this is one thing, and another thing is try to use a chemical press. Sometimes it is necessary, I will explain it later, because if you want to put a metal layer on plastic or isolator, which something materials cannot conduct electricity, that kind of electroplating cannot be conducted. You cannot use that kind of things. And also sometimes it's very necessary to use these kind of things because electroplating, there's some kind of distribution of current. If the current density is not uniform, you got the layer with different thickness. And sometimes you can get the layer from this kind of technique because in that case, we should use this kind of things. I will explain it later a little bit more. So electroplating. Electroplating is the process of plating one metal onto another by hydrolysis. Most commonly for two reasons, decorative purpose or to prevent corrosion of a metal. So for the parts of motorbikes, something like that, or cars, the wheels, sometimes it's not only for the corrosion problem, it's for the decorative purpose, try to make things more beautiful. So that is one thing. And there are also specific types of electroplating, such as copper plating, silver plating, and chromium plating. And sometimes, not only decorative, not only corrosive, sometimes it can supply the hardness for the surface. For some parts, needs to, in a friction condition, such as piston or other things, you need some kind of these kind of things. So, electroplating allows manufacturers to use inexpensive, cheap metals, okay, such as steel or zinc for the majorities of the product, and then apply different metals on the outside to account for, to let them to do this kind of appearance, protection, and other products. So the main metals is cheap and is strong enough for holding something, and they use the coatings to realize or reach the purpose for the appearance, protection of the product, designed for the product, okay? The surface can be metal or even plastic. Plastic sometimes it needs some other techniques to do it. Sometimes finish a solid decorative, such as products we use indoors, okay, sometimes, okay, or in a dry environment. Dry environment is not it's a good environment for, you know, the metals to, you know, to be used, because the corrosion problem is not that severe. Okay, with water or with humidity conditions, it's worse, where they are unlikely to suffer from corrosion. Okay. This type of products normally have a thin layer of gold, okay, or silver applied so that it has an attractive appeal, very attractive, beautiful, to the consumers. Electroplating is widely used in industries such as automobiles, cars, okay, airplanes, electronics, okay, jewelries, that is, you know, the magic purpose, and toys. Okay, the overall process of electroplating uses an electrolytic cell, which consists of putting a negative charge on the metals and dipping it into a solution that contains metal salt electrolyte, which contains positively charged metal ions. Then, due to the negative and positive charge, the two metals are attracted to each other. So this is, okay, the purpose. Yes. So the hardness I mentioned is this engineering or mechanical property. Sometimes it can reach this purpose also. So I'm not going to explain these things. I think if you done the if you done the experiment for scanning electron microscope in your fourth grade or do the ED engineering design, I think sometimes you use these kind of things. Okay, it's plating, the copper plating. We did this, so this is silver plating, something like that. So it's very simple, just like cell, the reverse process of a battery, something like that. Okay, so you use the electricity and let the cathodic, these kind of things, cathode coated with the ions in the solution. Okay, so that is very the mechanism is very simple for us, I think, at least. So, but for electroplating, you can get a layer very easily using this very simple cell. But for real practical application, it is very, very difficult, because getting a shiny, very thin or uniform layer, it is not that easy. So if you did the experiment in your fourth grade, you know that your plating layer is not that good, okay? Not that shiny, cannot reflect light very well, and it's kind of the roughness, or you know, kind of porous, something like that. The adhesiveness or the adherence to the substrate is not that good. So, michakuse kotaku kinse. That is very important for electroplating, for practical electroplating. So, a lot of patents in this industry, in Tokyo, たくさんあります. So they have to add some very small amount of ingredients, which is kind of maybe organic things, or I'm not quite sure, and they make the layer very good enough. So sometimes you have to control the temperature, control the shape of the electrode, try to make the coating layers very uniform, something like that. Because if the current density distribution is not uniform, it cannot get a uniform layer at this surface. So that is some practical problems. Actually, I worked 1 year, almost 1 year, at a factory for making PCB, printing circuit board for copper plating or gold plating, something like that. So we have to notice a lot of things every day to check all the production lines, if everything is okay, and to check the current, the conduction, and also the temperature, something like that. So the electrolyte. Of course, choosing the right electrolyte is very important for the quality. But recently, the electrolyte itself has some environmental problems for including some toxic ions or some toxic matters or compounds. It is not good recently. So nowadays, we are trying to develop to find other ways inside of the traditional or conventional components for the electroplatings, because some kind of cyanide ions or some kind of 6+ chromium ions will be included in the electrolytes for a better or for good plating. So that is kind of dilemma. We have to choose which one. So we try to find a way inside of things. But it's kind of ironic. So in this world, something toxic, it may have some very special good qualities for you to use it, for it, for itself being used, something like that. So that is one of things. And other things you can see is not only resistance, corrosion resistance, brightness, reflectivity, and hardness, mechanical strength, ductility, density, wear more, wear resistance, okay, these kind of things. So lot of things. If you want to have a close look, please do it after the lecture. A lot of pre-processing, after processing, you know. Basically, you in your experiment, you do the cleaning with ultrasonic wave or devices, ultrasonic devices, something like that. It's kind of like that, you know, cleaning the surface. And after that, because the electrode always either acidic or basic, something like that. It's kind of very strong corrosive media, so you have to wash it or something. And sometimes you have to dry it, or after treatment, something like that. It's very important. And try to make the surface cleaning clear, very good enough. Try to make that very fresh. It's very important. When I worked in the plant, the factory, the production line was introduced from Israel, and all the electrolytes from German, so the quality is kind of perfect, and the rate for the good products should be around 95-96, something like that. But in our factory, only 86. Why? Because the workers, they don't have this kind of knowledge in their mind. They just walk around, sometimes maybe use the bare hand to touch the panel or something like that. So you cannot predict all these kind of things if you don't re-educate them with this kind of knowledge. So the surface preparation is very, very important. And yeah, also they have used a lot of this kind of things, automatic lines, or you use different, you know, the tools or the design things to hang all these parts, because you don't have only have two electrodes. Sometimes you have a lot of parts together, gathering in one rack and being plated, something like that. So that is the basic things. So different coatings, you can see. Such as zinc coatings, sacrificial coatings, decorative, functional, minor metals, and usual metals coatings, and alloy coatings, a lot of things. I'm not going to talk things about that. Very. And factors, I think this is kind of important. So if you want to get a very good coatings, you have to take care of this kind of main factors. Good contact with all connections. That is also things we always neglect when we do some experiment. The connection, the good connection, the conduct. Because if the surface was corroded, oxidized a little bit on the metals, and they use the clip on the surface, because the electricity current have to pass the oxide film and then go to further. And if the oxide film resistance is very high, it will consume a lot of current and energy, and some cause some heat, something like that. So the whole process will be in very bad condition. So that is try to check the connection, all the things is good before starting your the process, plating process. So again, the same period when I was in engineering at the electroplating production line, I have to, you know, brush all the bars. It's kind of the copper bars, this kind of thickness, okay, this with the paper, okay, the polished paper, every day, almost every day, maybe twice in a day, something like that. Try to make connection is very perfect. So surface condition, that's pre-treatment, okay? We have the PVD coatings for coating, you know, if you want to wash some samples on SEM, you have to sometimes, if it is isolated, you have, such as your hair or something, you have to coat it with gold or other things. And if the surface pre-treatment is not that good, but sometimes with the old plating devices, many years ago, I think 20 years ago, one student want to play place the gold layer onto their key, the car key. And I think it only lasts maybe one or two days because, you know, the surface is not good enough. So after the friction or all these kinds of things, it will disappear very quickly. Temperature is also very, very important for real use, for the practical use. Current density, as I said, is not only the measure of the amplifier or the distribution, something like that. The current efficiency, because when you're plating, only because it's aqueous solution, the generation of hydrogen and other things will consume the current also. So the current efficiency is very important. Sometimes it's not only the efficiency, if the generation of hydrogen comes out very, you know, in a very large volume or a lot, great part of the current, it's caused another, we call it hydrogen embrittlement, cause a lot, another damage to the parts. Current distribution, as I said, okay? So ingredients, that is the top classified things, okay? This is the secret for different companies, okay? So that is, okay, ingredients of a plating, yeah? Is the function of the rose, okay? It can provide a lot of things to solve a lot of problems, but it's kind of secret for the companies. They don't want you to know it. They only want you to buy it, okay? And a little bit SEM photos taken by the fourth grade students, and you can see the pre-treated surface only polished with the paper, and you can see the scars on the surface. And with a very small, relatively small current density, you can see get a very relatively condensed and with a small, you know, green size surface. And if you increase the current about 10 times, and you can see it just like very, you know, ununiform and the site located rapid growth on the surface. So it's not good. It's for us good to enjoy the surface, but it's not good for being used. So that is the electrolyte plating. Another thing is electrolysis, chemical plating. Okay, so we are going after that. We are going to talk a little bit more about this kind of things. Okay, let's see. Okay. This one, I just want to use this one slide to explain the chemical plating. So chemical plating, the situation for this kind of process needed to be used is when you have a plastic or insulator, you want to coat it, the metallic coatings on the surface, so because it cannot conduct electricity, use the electrolyte. So use the chemical process. The chemical process is kind of, they use, I'm not going to explain it very specifically, and it use some seeds, tunning of metals that can be generated only maybe the tin chloride, something like that. 円化速度。 And after the chemical reaction, some small particles of zitin or something like that on the surface can form on the surface of the plastic. And from that initiating site, the outward plating will start, something like that. So one use is the copper plating. So what is this? This is a memory chip. So we always call this multi-layer circuit board, okay? Multi-layer. Because you can say it's very thin, but it's kind of 6 or 8 layers. There are a lot of circuits in it, in different layer. So for connection, the different layers, you have to use, they drill a lot of holes in different depths of that. So for the conduction, okay, the electric conduction, you have to coat the wall with copper. So if you use the electricity, the current distribution, the current density cannot be go inside it, and it's going to very very poor coatings sometimes, and sometimes it cannot be realized. Okay, it cannot be reached. Okay, so that is why we use this kind of chemical, because the electrode can be, you know, punished all everywhere on the surface of the components. And because the chemical study started, it can hold it on the surface with a relatively uniform layer. So that is why one of the big reasons for chemical plating. And also you can see for mercaprials and for you come, I'm not quite sure, the plate that is plastic, it's not metal, okay, basically. So if you look at the backside, it's plastic. So on the surface, it's maybe chromium plate and something like that. Basically, they use these kind of things for doing that. So that is. So maybe you can, maybe you have a problem in your mind, your question. So if the chemical reaction, progress continuously, what is the stability of the solution? And how can you control these kind of things? I think it's ingredients and all these kind of things. The development, the first idea for doing these things was not very simple. It was hard. Now they have the different components to maintaining the constant plating rate for doing these kind of things. But even though a chemical plating is kind of relatively very big vessel or cell, in the practical side. So the solution must be checked almost every day or every half day, something like that. You have to check all these kind of things. And the very important thing you have to take care of is the impurities, especially metallic impurities in the solution, because it's going to be a site for the reaction to happen, okay, to start. So, 不純物、特に金属製の不純物の除去非常に大事なんですよね。工業の化学免疫は非常にこう最近は盛んになっていると。Okay, let's back to our slide. Other things I just want to know, there's different things, and almost the process almost same, especially only the main part of the process is totally different. So phosphate treatment. So sometimes it's not only for us to plate metals, only pure metal alloys on the surface. Sometimes we use some very insoluble compounds of metal on the surface of some parts. So that is one of these kind of things, phosphate treatment. And you can see coatings are used on steel parts for corrosion resistance, lubricity, or as a function for subsequent coatings or platings. So phosphate conversion coatings can also be used on aluminum, zinc, cadmium, silver and tin. The main types of coatings are manganese, iron and zinc. So that is one of the treatment which is kind of widely used also in industry. So that is in Japanese, ここに書いてるようにね、鉄素材のようにもね、使用するときにはよろしいと。あとは下地塗装としては。So that is the real plant for doing this kind of things and got this kind of surface or this kind of things. This kind of アリミナの表現に似てるんですよね。And this is magnesium. Basically, we have the alumite, okay? Aluminium 陽極酸化, magnesium 陽極酸化, そしてチタンの陽極酸化, okay? It's kind of using the corrosion mechanism to making a good protective coatings on the surface. 不動体化処理というね、ようなことは。We're going to show you a 5 minutes video later to show how it is used in industry. So that is also the same thing. To make a relatively thick aluminum surface on some aluminum alloys. So that is why I recommended and also when I gave the lectures for in organic chemistry, talking about aluminum, and I advise students don't, you know, polish the surface of your aluminum devices or you know the chicken ware or something like that. Use the hard brush or metallic brush to take all the surface. You cannot take all surface, but you can give a relatively big damage to them. ですから表面に酸化されるものね、金属たわして磨いたりとかすると余計にこのね、この初期とかのダメージ、ね、ダメージを与えるとか、まあ気をつけなくちゃ。だからクリーニングするときに表面にわざと化学処理で酸化品をできてますから、それをなくすっていうのはね、新たに出てくるものは必ずしも頑丈ではないと、いうことは。And also, you know, almost the same chromium. So the main player is chromium. Okay. Here I'm going to show a video to show you. Only 4.5 minutes. Okay. So this is to show how to use anodic oxidation anodizing to protect surface and use not only for corrosive protection, corrosion protection, also for decorative purpose, something like that. So this guy is going to explain it in 5 minutes.
I love the unibody design Apple uses in their laptops. They're made from aluminum or titanium that's processed to give a polished and refined look with a tough surface. They use a similar process on their iPods as well. The colorful aluminum cases are painted, but the surface is actually a layer of aluminum oxide growing into the aluminum with a dye locked into it. What's really bizarre is that these layers come from carefully controlled corrosion, in other words, rust. Every piece of aluminum develops an airtight oxide coating on its surface almost immediately when exposed to air. Now, what we think of corrosion as a force of destruction, when used creatively by engineers, it can yield incredible utility as seen in Apple's products. To create the coating used on these products, engineers enhance the growth of that oxide layer electrochemically. Let me show you with a piece of titanium. Is a strip of titanium in this solution hooked to a power supply. Don't do this at home. This can be lethal. Watch what happens as I apply a voltage. We see bubbles coming off the electrodes. As I increase the voltage, the color of the titanium changes. We call this process anodizing. Here's what's happening. I'm growing the layer of titanium dioxide. There's a very thin layer there naturally, but as it increases thickness, you can see the color changes as well. If we look at the strip I created from the side and exaggerate the scale, we can see that each color corresponds to an oxide layer with a different depth. The color comes from the interference of light rays that bounce off the titanium surface at the bottom of the transparent oxide, and those that reflect from its surface. The thickness of the layer determines how those two rays interfere. For each thickness of the oxide layer, two waves of a specific color will be exactly a half wavelength of phase, and so when they recombine at the surface, they cancel each other. The color observed then, if the light source is white, will be the complement of that color. Well, titanium is fascinating. Anodizing is of most importance for aluminum because the coating can be made thicker, more robust, and protective. To get vivid colors, we dye the aluminum and seal the surface to lock in the color. Anodizing aluminum starts out much like titanium. Using aluminum as the positive electrode, engineers first pass enough current to grow a thin barrier layer, similar to that which forms naturally. Then, as the anodizing proceeds, the current pushes this barrier deeper down into the aluminum, converting the aluminum above into a very porous oxide layer. It isn't the layer being put on top, but instead the reaction consumes and converts the aluminum. This is one of the reasons it's so effective at preventing corrosion. The pores in this layer give the aluminum a unique characteristic important for a consumer device, the ability to be colored. The pores formed on the surface have a honeycomb pattern. Inside these layers, one can place dye of any color. Once the pores are filled, engineers seal the layer by boiling the aluminum in hot water. This closes the pores, locking the color in forever. You cannot scrape it off without removing the aluminum. The toughness comes from the oxide being structurally similar to tough gemstones. Sapphire is an aluminum oxide with trace amounts of iron and titanium to give a blue color. It's also the basis of ruby, the same crystal structure with chromium that absorbs yellow-green. Both materials are very hard, 9 on the Mohs scale. In a typical iPod, they use only soft anodizing, so that layer isn't quite as hard, but still more durable than paint. I just love anodizing. The natural occurrence of corrosion made useful for everyday objects. I'm Bill Panic, the Engineer Guy. This video is based on a chapter in the book, 8 Amazing Engineering Stories. The chapter features more information about this subject. Learn more about the book at the address below.
So you can see analyzing, aluminum anodizing, okay, anodic oxidation of aluminum to use it. I think the service also, you know, were processed by this process. So for the colorful iPod or other things, is the same. Because it is very good compared to the painting, the surface painting, because the color, the dye, or the pigments, they are sealed, okay, closed, okay, locked at the hole, into the hole. So on the surface, the sealing process is in hot water. So if, just like he said, if you want to, you know, delete or, you know, take out the color, you have to brush all the oxide layer from the top to the bottom of the layer. So it's kind of very long-term lasting colorful coatings for many components or parts or devices. So it's kind of very useful. Okay, and back to and another thing is inhibitor, shoku yokusei. In Japanese, we don't use shoku yokusei anymore, just inhibitor. So a lot of different types, this is, as I said before, it's a very big market. Okay, for different companies, they develop a lot of inhibitors for different purpose, for pipeline, tank, or different things. Even for the car, because the fluid pass through the pipe, something like that, they have a little bit kind of this kind of addition to the fluid to prevent the pipes, the inner surface from corrosion, something like that. So a lot of different types. You can see the absorption types and metal salt types, something like that. One good example, we are not doing this kind of experiment anymore. So many years ago in the fifth grade experiment, we have the corrosion of iron, something like that. So we use the sodium sulfate solution and put the same iron plate into one. One is only sodium sulfate solution, and another one is sodium sulfate solution with a little bit, chromic acid, nichromsan kalium, kind of potassium chrome. I'm not quite sure the word. Nichromsan kalium, that is kind of inhibitor. So after 1 week, we have 2 weeks experiment, right? After 1 week, you can see the severe or very serious corrosion phenomenon with the plate in the normal sodium sulfate solution. And another one, only with 0.02 gram or milligram, something like that, totally there's no corrosion on the surface. So you can see the miracle, very strong effect on the corrosion process. So that is things. You can see a lot of different types, making the oxide film or the adsorption, and also that is a chitin anion type kind of inhibitors, a lot of things. It's good for the application, different application for and the different situations. So as I said, it's kind of very, very important way to protect the component, because for example, the pipeline, you cannot use the plating techniques. It also, you can not, crave in it to painting the inside or something like that. So the inhibitor sometimes is very effective. And another thing, electrochemical protection method. One is anodic protection, just like anodic oxidizing, as we saw with the video. You're making, purposely, try not on purpose, you're making a thick layer or anodic passive layer on the surface, and let it last on for a very long time to reach the or to get to fit the purpose for corrosion protection, something like that. And another thing is corrosion product cathodic production. We learned pH potential diagram. If you lower the potential low enough to protect the surface, it's good. Sometimes you lower. One is use electricity. Another things maybe sometimes. Sacrificial atom. So that is the cathodic protection. And again, I think that this one is good for to show this kind of things. This is very difficult, typical sacrificial protection. So for protecting the steel based body of the ship, they use the iron gadgets or something. Small part of it. This is because it oxidizes on the surface. Sometimes you have to take off the oxidation layer, oxidized layer, regularly for the ship. But basically, instead of the corrosion of the whole body, the iron clothes, sacrifice themselves for protecting the body. Also, not only iron, also for the bronze. Okay. The screw of the board. That is the sacrificial anon, things. And again, back to the chapter. And, I'm sorry. Nice. And another thing I think is very useful for, especially for people who are not going to be a specialist in corrosion, to use some basic corrosion knowledge to avoid these kind of things from happening, So one is, you can see the flow of the fluid in the pipe or the connection of the path, if you use this kind of design, it's going to a kind of accumulation or stagnant condition at this area. So it can cause the crevice corrosion or some other type of corrosions. If you use this kind of design, it will go, the fluid will go smoothly and without any possibility of corrosion. And another thing is also sometimes you will not wear these kind of things, is to keep the temperature uniform in the tank or something like that. So if you use a heater, I'm sorry for the crash of the world, at this position, the temperature here will be higher than this area. So it's kind of because the difference of temperature, you know that the electrochemical corrosion is related with the temperature. So the high speed of corrosion and lower speed. So it's kind of anodic cathodic formation for these kind of devices. So you can see a little bit red area, it's kind of corrosion. So try to solve it. You use a heater in the center to try to keep the temperature being uniform, okay? And also not only temperature, the concentration of this kind of fluid is also sometimes a problem. If you use this kind of design, it's going to be trouble after maybe 2 or 3 years or maybe several months, and try to make this the concentration be uniform, okay? So that is also important. And another thing, I didn't wear aware of it because before giving these lectures, the concentration of gas, okay, the dissolved oxygen, something like that, gas, okay, because it may attend to the cathodic reaction sometimes. So the concentration of the gas is sometimes may cause some problems for your parts or something like that. And also other things, okay? Especially in the city, a lot of trains, subways, and if you use a lot of electricities, sometimes if it passes through the pipes or something like that, okay? So the pipe will be corroded sometimes and cause some big accidents sometimes. So that is also practical or real problem situation, okay, in our daily life. So try to investigate all the maps, all the construction histories at that area before you're starting something new, okay. Also, almost the final part of the lecture, and that is the chloride ions, temperature, atmosphere, and sometimes could make things. I think we have done these kind of things. Okay, a little bit earlier, I think I want to give some time for you to have a good look at the 2 years ago final exam problems, something like that. So about final exam. I think if you see the syllabus, I think it's the two exam includes maybe 60% or 70% of your scores, and the every week assignment will be 30% or 40% of your score. So if you got a relative low score at middle term, it doesn't matter, because if you submit your assignment every week, I think assignment cannot be get a score lower than 80 sometimes, basically above 80s, basically 100 or 90 something. Don't worry about the final score. But the final exam is kind of important. Just like the middle term, it will be given in English, okay? You can answer your questions with Japanese, it's no problem. Of course, if you want to answer it in English, welcome, okay? It's going to be great. So, also by summarizing this lecture, I give lecture every 2 years for this, and this is the third year for me to giving these lectures almost in English. It's a good challenge for me. I think it's relatively a very big challenge for you. And thank you very much for being with me to the end of this lecture. Every time I worry about if someone will leave from this lecture during the middle or something like that. I think it's good. I feel very good also for this. And you may not understanding the whole story what I'm talking about, but through the slide and sometimes through some very simple explanation or something like that, I think you also had a kind of positive pressure on your future career. I think it is maybe it is not the real situation with your career in the future, with the environment totally without any Japanese, but English I think is definitely important. Even recently we have the AI development, and it seems there's no need for me for you to learn English or to learn other foreign language anymore, but I think it still takes a very long time to let the robots to understand what you're in mind and the nuance of the contents for a speaker. So that is, I think, still is also very important. Also, for learning a language, it's kind of a different challenge because it's totally different from learning other knowledge, especially in the science engineering field. You have to keep on doing this kind of things every day, almost every day. So, okay, so a little bit is good, but if you want to do it in one day and take a rest for 1 month, you cannot expect too much progress. Maybe go back to your middle school level sometimes for some students. So anyway, thank you very much for being with me, and your comments, and not only on the paper, and maybe later sending emails to me is also welcome. And I will try to do, I can also do my best, I will try to do what I can to improve this kind of lectures and let it to be more acceptable, more easily to be taken in the next step, 2 years later. Okay, okay, thank you very much. じゃあちょっと早めにね、終わりにしたんですけど。